Psalms chapter number 32. I am starting a new series this morning for 5 weeks. And I think our screen's up. And I like that. I am starting a new series this morning entitled Blessed is the Man, the Secrets of Real Happiness. Tonight, I want to give a special announcement. Now, this is going to be a blessing for the next several weeks, maybe 20 or more. I'm going to start a series and preach it, expository preaching, and teach at the same time on the book of Revelation. I want you to know it'll be inspiring. It'll be a blessing. I hope it helps trigger revival in a great way. And I think this message is I'm going to be preaching in Blessed is a Man is going to strengthen us in the Lord. So look at Psalm 32. And for you Bible students and for you that are learning the Bible now, if you want to sometimes get two Bibles and put Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 together, because they are actually telling the same story from different viewpoints and different angles. They are companion Psalms. Now, you know the background of Psalm 51. I'll give you the background of Psalm 32. Psalm 32 comes on the heels of David's great sin, when David committed sin with Bathsheba. And, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame that a lot of people, when you mention David, if we do a little word connection right now, I say David, first thing you'll say is Bathsheba. If I say Samson, you'll say Delilah. But I want you to know something. There's more to people than that. I want you to know David wrote most of the Psalms. David was, by the way, I'll may prove this during this sermon on Revelation. I think David's going to play a special role during the millennial reign and the seed of David. Now, that's for another time, but I want you to know that you can goof up and God can still forgive. And if you're here lost, I don't care what you've done in life. There's only one sin will take you to hell, and that's the sin of rejecting the call of the Holy Ghost. No other sin. God says whosoever will can be saved. That I don't care what you have done in life. There is a God who is high and lifted up. He is just and the justifier of them that believe. And I want you to know something. He'll forgive you this morning. The psychologists say today that the number one problem in the world that they deal with in psychiatrists is guilt. I want you to know, if you've been washed in the blood, if you've been cleansed in the blood, God just didn't forgive your past sins. He forgive your present sins. And what a God. He's already forgive what you're going to do tomorrow. Well, glory. I wasn't quite going to introduce my sermon that way, but I think that's a pretty good introduction. Psalm 32. Let me read the first 5 verses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now notice the phrase. This is what I'm going to use. I'm actually going to speak out of 5 different Psalms that use this phrase. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin, and unto thee and my iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and the Lord forgaveth the iniquity of my sin. Selah. This morning, as we jump into this series, I am preaching on this theme this morning, on this series of Blessed is the Man, the secret to real happiness. I want to preach this morning on blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. There may be some Christians here this morning. You've already asked forgiveness. And maybe somebody else still holds it on you. Or you hold it on yourself. I want you to know you can't help what others do, but you can help what you do. And if you can find out in the scriptures that you are forgiven, it will go a long way to make you feel happier in the Lord. Now, I want you to know why. Well, for whatever reason, we're just humans. If we've done something in the past, even though we came clean with God and asked God to forgive us, we still hold to it sometimes and we don't forgive ourselves. I want you to know something. You can't be of real good use to God if you don't forgive yourself. And by the way, you're not going to have be good use to God if you don't know how much He forgave you. And I'm going to try to bring all that out this morning. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. You don't have a greater blessing in your life than to know this morning, as you said in this congregation, that your sin is forgiven. Praise God. Now, that word blessed means more than something or someone that is a recipient of blessings. It speaks of happiness. Really, the word is translated 18 times as happiness in the Bible. Psalm 146 and verse 5 said, happy is the man. He that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I want you to know I have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in my life. I have the Messiah. I might as well, this is a little extra preaching. When I got saved, I got grafted into the olive branch, who is Israel. The church has been grafted in. And by the way, we're inheritance of Abraham's blessings. If you read Galatians chapter number 3, well, glory. Now, let me give you 3 things about David and his psalm. First of all, sin that is covered. David said in verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. David, for a while, right after his sin, kept silent about it. But aren't you glad that God has a way of waking us up? You know what God done? God sent a preacher man. That's me this morning. I'm a preacher man. God sent a preacher man to David. Told him a story of a little parable about a ewe lamb. And David, about somebody killing somebody, taking somebody's ewe lamb. And David got so mad that he's about ready to go out and kill the guy that stole the ewe lamb. Then the preacher man. You know, I get accused this all the time, but really I'm not guilty. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit, is the one that directs me to the message. Is God directs me to the message. And I want to tell you this. Every once in a while, you might see my bony finger coming out here. You're saying, Lord God, He's pointing me out. He's preaching to me this morning. No, that's not me preaching. That's God sent a message through me. I'm just simply saying, here's the truth. And you might think that your neighbor or your wife has done called me up this week. No. And I do not want you to. I've got a Holy Ghost of God that tells me what to preach, and I don't need no other help, okay? Someone to help me preach right there. But David said in verse 3, he kept silent. Then the preacher come and told him the story, and David was ready to go kill him. And he said, no, you don't need to kill no man. You're the man. Thou art the man. You know, it's so easy, and I'm going to preach this. Somebody help me there. I must preach this right now. It's so easy to judge somebody else. Listen to me. You need to get off that hang up. You've got enough baggage yourself to deal with. You don't need to be dealing with somebody else. Am I preaching? The Bible said, judge not, you'll not be judged. Hey, I want you to know something. John Smith's got enough. I looked in the mirror this morning. Yep. Still got enough to deal with. I don't need to point you out. Let me tell you, I don't like folks to point other people's out and judge people and come down on people. I want to tell you, I got a God. If you're saved, your sins are covered. Whew, let me get into this. I'm having time this morning. That's what running somewhere else and taking a bath will do for you. And David defined the committing of sin in these verses. And I want you to look at three words with me. First of all, in verse 1, he uses the word, if you look with me in your Bible, he uses the word transgression. And that word transgression, if you want to put a note down, it's going to be on the outlines. If you want the outlines, get with Sister Allison. She'll give them to you. It means to revolt or to rebel. That's why the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It means to rebel. Hey, we're living, how many of y'all agree with me? We're living in a rebellious society. We're living in a society that is running as far as they can from God and the Bible and Christ as they can. Now, they don't mind joining up with some other religion that is benign I'm going to tell it. And it's benign and it doesn't speak of a real born again experience. It doesn't speak of being a new child of God. It doesn't speak of forgiveness. Really, all they speak is the love of God. Everybody's in the family of God. I want you to know that's not true. Everybody is not in the family of God. You're either in the family of the devil or the family of God. And the only way you got in the family of God is that you were born again. And the way you got in the family of the devil, you got born the first time. The word transgression means to revolt or rebel. And let me say this to you. We may apply that to lost people. Lost people do it. But I know Jonah did it. He was a saved man. He run from the will of God. Let me tell you, we can get caught up in rebelling against God. We'll find something in the scripture that kind of tees us off. Or the preacher says something to scripture and you some way say, well, he was out of context. How can out of context mean? Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That's just simply what it says. Then in verse 1, look at this word, the word sin. That's another word for sin, transgression, and then the word itself. Now, how many of y'all go bow hunting? How many bow hunters here? I don't talk much about bow hunting anymore. But here's what I was told by some of my members after I cut my hand off. Here's what they came to me said, how much practice did you have? Have you ever really sat down and went over safety and got you a target and it had a bullseye and you went out there and tried to hit the bullseye? Did you do that? And I said, well, to be quite honest with you, no, I didn't. And the person who may be smiling at me right now and some others, that's why you got a finger just about tore off. Thanks. But you know what the goal? You know what the goal is? Is hit the bullseye. And you know what God is saying in the scripture? That we've missed the mark. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. And if it wasn't for the blood of Christ and the atonement of God, we'd all be hell bound right now. But thanks be to God that He has a remedy. Then the word, let me show you this word. I just want to show you this word. This word in verse 2, iniquity. We were shaping in iniquity. This word means distort or distorted. The path he had chosen was spiritually and morally distorted. We can, and sinner, you are in a distorted path. You're going the wrong direction. We Christians can go the wrong direction. And God's not pleased when we go the wrong direction. But God said, I've got forgiveness. I've got love. I've got strength to bring you back. Then, here's something about choices. I've had young people do this. Moms and dads do this. And everybody does this. Especially if you're a straight shooter. I got my choice. I got a choice. Yeah. You do. But I want you to know something. Before you go too hip on this word choice, every choice has a consequence. Whew. Now listen to me. Look what the consequences of David's choice. He said in verse 3, my bones wax old through my roaring all day long. He was haunted. If you're a real child of God and you sin and get away from God, it'll haunt you. Amen. Until you get it right. Amen. Just haunt you. And some of us get it right and we still let it haunt us. We've got to realize our sin's been covered. We're forgiven. Somebody help me right there. And some people's haunted by sin that shouldn't be haunted by sin. You say, but I've done something and I can't get away. Did you ask God to forgive you? He did. It's gone. Quit reminding yourself of it. It's gone. Somebody shout glory. But then he also in verse 4, he said, my moisture is turned under the drought of summer. Look what he's saying. He said, the barrenness that sin brought. I want to tell you what sin does. It'll do it every time. It'll make you feel barren. You could be a sweet Christian, a fruitful Christian, one that's trying to do right. But I tell you, get sin in your life. Can I tell you, it'll make you feel barren. It'll make you forget all the good you've ever done. And only concentrate on that barrenness. Number two, look at this. It'll also, the barrenness of sin brought remorse. David could stamp a word over his bed every night. Remorse. Remorse. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's where we find David. But number two, and I'm going to start getting in the peppy part of this because I like this. In verse number 5, the sin that was confessed. Here's what he said in verse number 5. Are you there? Say amen. Won't you follow me in your Bible because it's good or on the board. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. David said, I confess them. Now here's three things. I want you to see it. By the way, the Bible said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. How many thank God for mercy? Look at me. How many of you know, even since you've been saved, if I turn the clock, just saved, I don't want to go before you saved, that you've done some things that you got right. And God showed you great mercy. I'm about ready to take a lap around this building. That may not mean a whole lot to you, but it means a lot to me, and I'm about to shout. I'm glad God isn't a God that says, I'm going to use Jared Green. I'm done with you. You're the newest on staff. I'm not even going to bother you for a while. You know, son. Somebody might come and say, I know some times, Jared, in your Christian life, when you're young, I run with you. Hello? And you know what you can say to the devil when he brings that thought up or somebody else? But you don't understand. I've confessed them. Amen. And that don't mean you had to go out to everybody in the church and get forgiveness. I don't really need to hear all the dirty laundry. God knows all about it. You know, we make it so hard on people to get right with God. We want them right, don't we? Now, I'll go into sin sometime and when it's right to say something publicly and when it's not. But I want you to know something. I'm thankful. Just acknowledging it. He said, I acknowledge my sin. Guess what happened? David was on his way to restoration. Give me 5 right there. He was on his way to getting right with God. He was on, well, glory. Amen. Stay with me. He humbled himself before the Lord. The Bible said in Psalm 51:17, the companion chapter to this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, wilt thou not, despise. I want to say this to you this morning. God says, come for me humbly. Sin's an ugly thing. And what God wants is humility. And the word acknowledge means the same idea as the word confess. Did you know that? If you look the word acknowledge up and look the word confess up, they run with the same idea. And here's what the Bible says. Y'all with me? I tell you what, turn to 1 John 1:9, everybody. I know it's on the board, but I don't know if you can see that far up here. Will you do me a favor? This is talking about Christians. It's not talking about sinners, but it applies to sinners too. Would y'all do this with me? Especially the phrase that's up here. Will you read 1 John 1:9 with me? Together. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. The word confess means to say the same thing or agree with. You know what God is saying to you? You confess them. I agree with you. I forgive them. I don't forgive just part of them. I forgive them all. Hey, God done put them into a sea of forgiveness, never to be remembered against you anymore. And you know how far they are? They're as far as the east is from the west. You know how far they are? They've been blotted out. Amen. Glory. Number two, not only he humbled himself before God. This is how you confess. How honest he was before God. I confess my transgression unto the Lord. Confess used here means to hold up hands. Now, let me give you this. Boy, this is good right here. Let me give you this. And this is 100% scriptural, what I'm about ready to say. And I want you church people to feel free to do it when you get happy. But also when you're sad about sin. Here, the Bible says in the area of happy, hold up holy hands. Every once in a while when we worship, yeah, that right back there. Holy hands. That is a way to praise God. That is a scriptural way to praise God. Now, everybody might not feel like doing it, but every once in a while I do it. When I get really energized by truth, like I am right now. I'm holding holy hands for a God that loved me and forgave me, but hold it. That word, Jared, do you know also? That word also talks about holding your sin up. And I'll get to that a little bit more. God, I'm honest with you. Hey, listen, it's time to quit playing games. Why don't you just come clean? Be honest. You'll get a whole lot further along with God. Just be honest. Be clean. You said, but what would people think? Who cares? I sure don't. Do you? This is me getting right and happy. Hold them up. Not only hold up your praise, but hold up your sins. God, I'm coming clean. Take this junk. I don't want it anymore. Cleanse me. I confess unto you. Here they are. And don't do no shotgun. You know what a shotgun is? I got one in my car. In pistol form. I'm licensed. Well, you shouldn't say everything, should you? But I got a gun that you can be, it can be a .45 caliber or a .410. I choose .410 because I can't shoot. And if I had somebody come and want to hurt Marguerite or something, don't hurt me. Marguerite can take care of herself. you know what? Listen to me about sin. Look here. Look at me. Look at me. You don't want no shotgun sin. Lord, if I confess sin, what in God's name's wrong with you? He already knows the ones you did. He wants a rifle, one pinpoint, Lord. I got hate in my heart. I got bitterness in my heart. Lord, I'm a gossip. Lord, I've had mischief in my life. Lord, I drink. We already know you do. But what you're doing is, you're coming clean. How many? You know what? You want to be a happy person? I tell you what, waiting around with sin in your life all the time and waiting around with that stuff all the time, you can't be happy. Yeah, I know you're not happy. You've got enough God in you not to make you happy. And you're not happy. And I want to tell you what, waiting around in that won't help you. But if you'll lift up hands and say, here, I'm coming clean. I'm coming clean. I'm coming clean. And God will forgive you. There's one time in my 40 years of being married, at least, that I had to go to my wife and say, and I'm going to tell all y'all, don't do what I'm about ready to say, because they may not forgive right away. They may club you first. But when I was a young preacher here, and it's before the church helped me with my car, gave me a car to drive. I was by myself. I put mouths, I loaded them up. Boy, I'd done something. Really wasn't a wise thing to do. I went down here to the Chevrolet place right here. It's when I used to drive Chevys. Where's Eddie Miller? He right with God. And you know what I done? I told the associates, don't ever do this. I went down there without talking it over with my wife. And bought a car. When I drove in the driveway of that car, she said, what's that? I said, it's a car. She said, whose car? Mine and yours. Well, if it's mine, why didn't you say something to me about it? I thought you'd be all right with it. She got that fist back like she was going to draw it. And I said, please don't do this out here. And we walked in the house. And I said, you don't like this, do you? She said, can you undo it? I said, I don't know if I can. You better ask God to forgive me and forgive you, and you better ask me. I said, I think I'll ask you first. I said, Mark, forgive me for getting this car. She said, get on your knees and ask God. I didn't have to have her tell me that. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I broke some trust with my wife. I should have talked to her about it before I'd done something like that. And I asked God to forgive me. And you know, I got up, tears running down my face. I was broken. And she looked, I forgive you. It took me about 3 years to get I forgive you strong. But she did finally do that. By the way, I came clean. Now, did I want to get smacked in the mouth by my wife? No. Neither do I want the hand of judgment on me either. But last thing, I'm done. The sin that was cleansed, verse 5. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Verse 1 and 2. The Bible said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Do you know in New York, there is a cemetery with a grave there with a headstone simply says this. It has no date, no epitaph, no eulogy. Here's what it says. Forgiven! Ladies and gentlemen, if you could just fill that this morning, whoever was buried there wanted everybody else to know that God could forgive and they were forgiven. I'll tell you what, wouldn't be a bad thing to say this morning, if you're a child of God, raise up holy hands and say, I'm forgiven! Bless the Lord! And what that means is three things, and I'll give them to you quickly. Sin that was carried, whose transgression is forgiven. That gives a word of the Old Testament scapegoat, where they confess the sin to the scapegoat and put it out into the wilderness. Well, Jesus Christ was my sacrificial goat, but He rose from the grave, and He also was my scapegoat. And I want to tell you, I'm forgiven this morning. They've been carried away. They're gone. But also, verse 1 talks about whose sin is covered. The word covered speaks of David covered his sin, but God uncovered his sin and covered his sin with his righteousness. But here's one I really like. Sin that was canceled. The word imputeth. It's a financial term. It means to put to one's account. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you know what God done? He put all your sin on Christ's account. And He canceled it. And He brought it out. And you're forgiven. Well, bless the Lord. He is bowed in ice cream.